Today, on this feast of St. Patrick, though, I think it is a good reminder to us to really have that sense of the urgency and the importance of the gospel. And talk about forgiveness. He went back to the place where he was held as a slave in order to preach to those people. So he's really awesome. We can't talk about him today, though, because this is the second Sunday of Lent, and we're here to talk about the Transfiguration. At the Transfiguration, Jesus' appearance changes from his normal human appearance. He is brilliantly, like dazzlingly, glowingly radiant. And his clothing is turned this really bright white. The first thing that the Transfiguration is going for, right? What Jesus is giving Peter, James, and John is that he's giving them a sense of his resurrection. Now, he's just talked about he's going to be crucified. He's just told them, I'm going to be handed over to the chief priests, and they're going to hand me over to the Romans, and I'm going to be denounced. They're going to call me evil. They're going to torture me. I'm going to be crucified, and I'm going to die. It's like, that's a downer. Like, I guess it must be Lent, you know? But what he does right after that is he has the Transfiguration, and he appears before them in glory. Some of his divinity is shining through in a way that is normally hidden. It's not hidden there. And they see his face transfigured. They see even his clothing dazzlingly white. That is to show that the cross leads to the resurrection. The glory of the resurrection is sort of prefigured, or there's a preview to the resurrection at the Transfiguration. So yes, we're going through Lent. We're going through this time in the desert. We're going through cross, the cross, and the death of Lent. But that's leading to the resurrection, both in the sense of Jesus' death and resurrection physically, but also in the sense of our death to sin and our resurrection to new life in Christ. This time of Lent, it's not about that we're all going to die physically, but that we are going to die to our selfishness, die to our sin, die to those things that to which we're too attached. And what that means is they don't have the same pull on our hearts. Temptation is always going to be tempting, you know? But it doesn't have to have us enslaved to it. We can have great freedom. And so in that sense of when a temptation comes along and this idea lands in my heart, when I'm dead to sin, it isn't like, wow, that's really exciting. It's kind of like, nah, I don't really want that. It's kind of dead. I'm dead to sin. What do I really desire? What do I want? Well, the idea that we're dead to sin and alive to God, alive to righteousness, is that when we hear the Lord's voice, it lands in our hearts, and our hearts say, yes, I want that. I want him. That's what this time of Lent is really all about. Mary, I was reading the Catholic Commentary on Sacred Scripture. Dr. Mary Healy talks about the fact that whenever you have someone's clothing in the Bible, whenever someone's clothing is white, or dazzlingly white, or radiantly white, that's a sign of their righteous deeds and their holiness. In Revelation, it talks about the righteous deeds of the saints, that we're going to be clothed in white. Baptism, after baptism, people are clothed in a white robe to symbolize the transformation and the new life that comes out in their very actions. But it's not just about the actions, because we can go through Lent and we can fast from things, and then at the end of Lent, we can go right back to the things from which we were fasting and not be transformed. So I want to talk about just the three categories of Lent in the same way that Sister Miriam was talking about them. She said, fasting helps to restore our relationship with ourselves. That when we fast from earthly things to which we're too attached, that it helps us to come into right order in the way that we desire things. So if we're too attached to alcohol, we give up alcohol for Lent. The idea is that when we get to Easter, we don't then catch up on all of the alcohol we didn't drink. With food, we don't, oh, I got to catch up on a lot of food I didn't eat. Or if you're giving up Netflix or TV or something, Easter comes around and you don't even desire to go binge watch something. Now, maybe you will, maybe you won't. Like I said, temptation is always tempting. But the point isn't that we go through just these outward observances and we make it 46 days without, I gave up pad Thai, if you like Thai food, then pray for me. And it's like $10 or $12 a pop, which is like, it's going to add up a lot if you eat as much as I do. So I've given that up. Why? Well, because I don't want to be a slave to the flesh. If you look at the second reading, he talks about those who have conduct themselves as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their glory is their shame, and their God is their stomach. He doesn't mean that food is what they're worshiping. He means that sins of the flesh are what they're enslaved to. So food, basically, anything gluttonous, he says they're slaves to gluttony. Sloth, they're slaves to sloth. And lust, they're slaves to lust. He says, don't be slaves to these sins, but rather be transformed inwardly by the grace and the power of Jesus Christ. Lent is not about just changing, just like checking the box and doing an outward action. And the Christian life is not just about doing an outward action. It is about, again, this is Sister Miriam, Christianity is not a behavior modification program. It's an inner transformation unto glory. And when we think glory, we can think about the transfiguration. That as I'm fasting from things, I'm trying to restore the relationship within myself where my flesh doesn't have this rule over me. All right, if I give in to sins of the flesh like sloth, guess what? Sloth is, he's coming over if you invite him over or if you let him in. But he's going to bring his friends too because they don't come alone. Sloth is going to come in and he's going to be like, hey, gluttony, come on over. Come on in, I found a welcome place. Hey, lust, come on in, come on over. And we have this relationship where our flesh is kind of dominating us and we're doing things we don't really want to do. But to use Lent, to enter into Lent in a way where we're fasting from some of these TV and food and maybe alcohol or maybe something else, where we allow them by the grace of Christ and not just by our own strength, we allow him to transform us from within. So that when we come out to Easter, it's not just that we tried really hard and I made it 46 days without watching TV, except later today, and now I'm just going to watch a lot of TV. No, rather, this inner transformation means, yeah, I did some concrete, like I did the concrete Lenten things, like do this, don't do this. I stuck to it. But I also was changed by the grace of God. Even my desires are new. I want this new life. I don't want to go back to binge watching TV or a sin. I don't want to go back to that sin. I want God. And I want to keep pursuing him. That's what our life as Christians is all about. So fasting helps restore that relationship within ourselves. Prayer helps us restore that relationship with God. To take some time with the Lord and say, you know what, since I'm not binge watching Netflix, Lord, I have a little more time for Scripture and for you. For us to renew our relationship, for me to come into a new desire for you. And I know that several of you here are actually, in a new way, you're reading the Bible every day and absolutely loving it. And that's the transformation that the transfiguration is getting at. That's what Lent is about. So that's fasting and that's prayer. Almsgiving helps restore our relationship with others. So all that money I'm not spending on pad thai, I guess who could use that more than me? It's like a lot of people, a lot of ministries, a lot of things. Especially almsgiving refers to giving money to the poor. It could also have other implications for our time, the way that we give of our time, all right, and that we would have a restored relationship with others in the way that we use money. These three ways, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, we are called to enter into these, not in an external way only, but there is genius in the external, I'm giving this up for Lent, but we're called to enter into these in such a way that not by our strength, not by our might, but by the grace of God, we are given a new life. And we're transformed. That we not only do we turn away from sin, but we allow the Lord to transform us, even changing our very desires, so that the life that we live is a new life of holiness in Christ, and that we radiate with his joy, with his glory, and we desire him.